Welcome to Geographical Imaginations, brief expeditions into the geographies of everything and nothing. Coming to you from Radio Fabrik in Salzburg, Austria, this is Kevin S. Fox. This is episode 4, what we call Little Stories. Ever think about mapping your city? What would you put on it? What places, what stories would you enter into the mapping practice, the mapping process? Tonight we speak with two of the three members of Fraulein Flora's Favorite Hangouts, an alternative city guide mapping project here in Salzburg, to find out about their process and how they came to put together a map of Flora's Favorite Hangouts. Stay tuned as we talk with Eva Kralinger and Matthias Gruber. Tonight we'll start out in the field with Eva and Matthias on the Steingasse in downtown Salzburg.
We are right at the beginning of the Steingasse, at the house where the Das Kino is, the little alternative cinema. And there's a nice little story about this house, because if you look closely, you will see the marks in the wall that look like a tank. There's an urban legend that says that right after World War II, an American tank tried to enter Steingasse and got stuck here right at the beginning of the street. We don't know if it's true, but it's a nice little story.
We are here now about 50 meters in Steingasse, and we are looking at the old brown door of house number 19. When you look a little bit closer at the door, you can see marks that are scratched into the wood with a knife or something. And people would say that these are marks that vagabonds left on the door, so they could communicate with other vagabonds. For example, this triangle would mean there is living a nice lady, or this circle would mean people are very rude in here. And so they could communicate on the door with leaving marks on it.
Do you have any idea what years those might have been from? Or are we talking a century ago? Are we talking a few decades ago?
Probably a century ago, because this door certainly is protected by the city as a monument. So I would say it's about a century ago, but I'm not sure. So now we are walking to the next stop in Steingasse, which is one of our favorite stops here. It's a little old shop called Tandlerei or Tendlerei, which is empty, or which has been empty for a while now. And this is why two street artists from Salzburg used it as a place to put their graffiti, which is very cool. It's a girl sitting in front of a old building. We were wondering who did this, because this is very significant to the city, and we were trying to find out about the artist behind this.
Yeah, so we were curious who fabricated this, and we found the name Jana and Chase. So we searched for them in the internet and invited them for a little walk through the city, and they would tell us the story behind their art, behind their street art. So that's interesting. They leave their marks everywhere in the city.
Normally, they look for abandoned places in Salzburg, so for this very lost space in the urban room space, and then they draw something. Usually, they take pictures of people, and then they draw them on these abandoned places. And most of them are already gone because Salzburg is very strict concerning graffiti arts in front, like on the walls of the buildings. But some of them you can still see, and we did a great story on that.
What I find interesting about this street art here is that it really shows how many different little places and stories you have in a city that maybe at the first glance you wouldn't even realize. But if you look closely, you find out that the city is really alive and full with stories.
So for the rest of the episode, we're going to talk about their project, which we've entitled for this episode, Little Stories. We're in the studio here with Matthias and Eva, and we have the map that they've produced initially kind of as an alternative tour of Salzburg. But let's have them explain a little bit the map.
Yeah, so as you can see, it's a printed map. It's pretty big, so but you can fold it and take it with you. On one side of the map, you have like what we would call a very normal city map, easy to read and easy to identify the places. And we have markers to identify six different categories. So, for example, we have shopping, we have rausgehen, which means go into the nature. We have going out in the evening. Connected to these different categories, we have the stories about the places we selected for the map. So I think the map is pretty easy to use if you turn it around. You have the descriptions of the places and the little stories about places, people, about funny stuff happening, about fun facts. And we also integrated quotes from locals. For example, here we've asked writer Katrin Rögler, she's actually a pretty famous writer. We asked her about her favorite place, and she told us it was a park in Eigen, and we integrated that into the map to give the people the feeling that we really asked locals.
Yeah. And so that local voice, not only your own, because you both grew up here, but other people as well. So getting that collective sense of what these favorite spots are for a local or for someone who's lived here for quite a long time.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's also in the name, because the name is Fräulein Flora's Favorite Hangouts, which is pretty strange at the first sight. It's a mixture of English and German. It's on the one hand, Fräulein Flora is very old fashioned. It's a very old name. And also Fräulein is an old word that you wouldn't use anymore.
Yeah.
And Favorite Hangouts is, for us, it's English. It's super cool. And we intentionally tried to mix this old Fräulein Flora with the new Favorite Hangouts to indicate, okay, Salzburg is a bit old-fashioned, but it also has cool places, and we mix it together, and that's our map.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, so that is, I wanted to ask the titling process. You came up with something, the traditional, the old, with the new, and mixing in, with English.
No, but I think that the name that we intentionally thought of this name, that we could combine a little bit of the old town in Salzburg, which is very present, and probably the young part, which is developing around Salzburg, and so that we can put this all in one name and show that it's not only old but also new, and not only new but also old. And it, I think for us it was a really nice way of integrating both sides of Salzburg, which do really exist.
You are listening to Geographical Imaginations, brief expeditions into the geographies of everything and nothing. Find us on the internet at www.geographicalimaginations.org. Let's get back to little stories. So if you aren't geographers, like, how did you get into this? What is it that you've done that's made you think about the spaces in which you live?
Well, we are a team of three, and I think what's interesting is that we all have a background in journalism. Eva has worked for radio and for newspaper and is now in marketing, so she knows a great deal about storytelling, about newspapers, but also about how to create a product that's actually interesting and that would actually sell, if you want to say so. I have a background in journalism too, and I'm working now in tourism. So I'm confronted every day with what you would call mainstream tourism. And I really use this project as a counterbalance to my day-to-day job. And Sandra, who can't be here today, unfortunately, she's a full-blood journalist, if you want to say so, and she's very much into storytelling. And what she's very good at is finding these alternative subcultures in Salzburg. I think she's the most fancy of the three of us. Yeah.
And so then whose idea was this? Where did the idea come from?
Well, it was basically an idea of Sandra, who's the third person in our project. She went for a short weekend trip to Brussels, and there she found a kind of an alternative city guide. And she was quite fond of it, and she used it a lot. So when she came back, she had this idea in her head of doing the same thing for Salzburg. A city guide or a map, a printed map, where people would find places, recommendations by locals that are actually more than just Sound of Music and Getreidegasse and Festspielhaus, etc. So that was the idea that we had, to create kind of an alternative city guide with secret tips from locals.
I think what is also very interesting, or was very interesting for us, is that the tips that we are giving were given by locals. So it was really, what are the favorite places of people that are in Salzburg, that are from Salzburg or have been living in Salzburg for a very long time. And this is why we went and collected all these tips and had a little survey in Salzburg, asking people, what is your favorite place? Where are you spending your time? How can you explore Salzburg on the cheap and stuff like that?
Okay, so you did. You included people. How did you contact these people? How did you make contact with people?
First of all, we of course asked our friends and all the people that we know. And second of all, we went out and had a survey on the streets, where we took our camera and recorded the people and took pictures and asked them just randomly on the street, where do you spend your time? What are your recommendations for either foreign people or people that are moving to Salzburg? What should they not miss?
It sounds like you've spent a lot of time compiling your data, let's say, or the information that you need to put together this map. When did you start the process of this project?
Well, we actually started off in May 2014, and it took us kind of 2 or 3 months to gather all the information. But actually, it took us much longer because there was a lot of the information in the map, or a lot of the stories were actually biographical stuff that we like from our childhood, things we remember from when we were younger, like sitting with our friends drinking beer somewhere nearby the university. So actually it's kind of it took us very long to gather all the information, but the actual map to create it took us like 3 months or so.
And where is the map available? Where could you get it if you were in Salzburg?
The map exists as a printed version. You can get it in several institutions, for example, Akzente Info in Salzburg, or the Landestheater, or Das Kino, and spots like these that we also mentioned in our guide. And to be more flexible, we created as well an online magazine that you can, of course, always go on when you go to the internet.
And use it as your kind of navigating Salzburg for yourself.
Exactly. You can use it, you can type keywords, you can look for places that you always wanted to see, or for recommendations that you haven't heard ever. And what happened after we launched this thing online, we got a lot of recommendations by locals who told us, yeah, but you missed that, or could you have a look at this? And my favorite place is that. Would you like to include it? And for me, that was a huge revelation because unlike Matthias, I haven't spent a lot of time in Salzburg the last few years, and I was abroad and I came back in January last year, and I was discovering and exploring the city as we were researching for the guide. So for me, there was a lot of stuff that I didn't know before, and in the process, I got to know a lot of things, and for me it was very enriching and very helpful to reintegrate in the city, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, and getting that participation from other people too, or that continual kind of participation, I'm sure will continue to enrich the project and make, or at least the list of sites that you could find on the map will continue to grow and grow and grow.
It's really a growing project, because as Eva said, we're getting a lot of tips and other stuff to include in the map. And also the city is changing constantly every day. Shops are closing, new restaurants are opening. So actually it's quite a lot of work to keep the map on a
updated.
Keep it updated, yeah.
Right.
And that's interesting because it shows you how the city changes every day.
I think that's especially interesting in Salzburg because people always say it's a very conservative city and it's like a museum and never, like, nothing is changing at all. And since we launched a printed version especially, we had to cross off many of the things that we recommended because they simply closed. And this is how we can see how Salzburg is developing, or how a city is living its own life in a kind of way.
Right. It almost seems like you've taken on this project to demonstrate how dynamic a city could be in terms of marking different places that might fit into a different narrative about the city outside of that official, you mentioned the Sound of Music kind of packaging that is very much part of Salzburg tourism. It's probably a very big part of it. It's to show places beyond that kind of official narrative that is maybe offering a prescribed way of seeing the city. And so you've your project is to show that there is this other way, but while you're doing the project, you're seeing that there's many, many other ways, and that it's constantly in flux, that a city itself probably has, it has its own time in some ways too, that it isn't as packaged as much as, you know, an official maybe city map with the normal sites that everyone goes to see might kind of portray.
Well, yes. Yes and no, because we did not demonstrate this on purpose that the city is living, of course. I think it's a nice way to say it's in flux because it's just like moving along and along. This was a great learning, a key learning for us. Also in taking into account that we chose as a medium the print version, and we also got to understand why official maps are never really showing the outside of the box Salzburg, because it changes so much.
You are listening to Geographical Imaginations, tonight's episode, Little Stories. For more information about Eva, Matthias, and Sandra's work, go to their website at www.frauleinflora.com. That's spelled FRAEULEINFLORA.com. And as always, check out our website. In fact, it's up to date as of last week at www.geographicalimaginations.org. The subtitle of this show uses the word expedition, and I know, you know, we've talked a little bit about that before, but in some ways I find, you know, we typically use this word expedition to go, to me it seems like it's to go far, and it's preparing some kind of, you know, physical feat of climbing a mountain or walking a very long distance. I also think that there's this, in literature, people call it a deep map. There's something, William Least Heat Moon is an author from the United States who's done work in this, and it's been much commented on. His idea of a deep map is to take a small place and look underneath and look into its history, its archaeology, its all of these things that go into making that place, or even that go into our understanding of the spirit of that place, and how limited sometimes by following a static map that might actually produce just a limited view of the place in which we live. And so he took a square county, because a lot of the counties in the west of the United States were drawn out by surveyors in the 18th century, 19th century, and they were drawn out to be squares on an abstract plane of which coordinates produce. And he just picked one of the squares and wrote a whole history of it. I believe it's Chase County, Kansas, if I remember correctly. And he said, well, I'm just going to take this place, but look at what's made it and gone and kind of unraveled its whole history. And looked at, you know, we use these word narratives. In my mind, when I use the word narrative, I think of threads for some reason. And so a narrative is like a thread that goes into, you know, weaving a sweater or something. And a layer might be, and you might even say what he did was about layers too. And layers are sort of, I think of soil, and that you're able to go down and dig deep. There's the top layer, which is where the vegetation grows, the things that are visible, but inevitably or eventually you're going to have to go down underneath and dig into those layers. So these are sort of different ways of thinking about how to think about a place, right? You know, I wonder if what you think of that idea of deep mapping, is that something, does that mean anything to you? So mapping a place, you know, it's outside, it's going beyond the official narrative, it's going beyond one way of thinking about a place, and maybe offering alternatives or even producing these alternatives by piecing together places, sites together in ways that they were never placed together before.
While I was listening to you there was one word that came immediately to my mind. I know that you're more of a geographic background, but we are more of the human science background.
Right.
And I immediately thought about the subcultures and people that are doing their very own thing, especially in Salzburg. If you have a look at, for example, the heavy metal scene in Salzburg, or the hipster scene, or there are different scenes in Salzburg, different societies, associations, different people that have the same interest, and they are forming these subcultures. And a very simple example for that is the heavy rotation bar in Salzburg, where you can only find like people from the heavy metal scene. And for me, you go in and everybody's wearing a black t-shirt, has long hair, there's only metal music. It's really the spot to be in Salzburg when you're interested in this kind of thing. And I think for me, everything comes together in these subcultures. They're very, like, there are a lot of people having different interests, and they are building things, places, restaurants, I don't know, everything based on their interests. For example, we have a vegan restaurant built by people, or opened by people who were really missing this kind of food in Salzburg, because there was no option to get vegan food in Salzburg. It's called the Green Garden. And now people with the same interest are going there to eat. And these people find together and they are doing different stuff together. So I think if you talk about layers, I don't see it so much as layers as probably in groups of people or groups of interests that are coming or putting together the big whole, I would say. So for me, it's a little bit of about subcultures and how they build their society, and the outcome is then Salzburg.
Right. Do you see whether this was an initial impetus or initial motivation or not? Do you see that the map has this potential to build community?
Definitely. I think we found a format for exactly doing this, because we are now talking to all of these people and trying to get hold of what they think is important, or what they think is interesting. And we are getting to know a lot of people, a lot of realities, if you want, and a lot of movements in Salzburg that are doing different things. And I think it's nice, so people from all these movements and all these associations would look on this platform and get connected with all the others. So this is, I guess, a little bit of a goal that we are trying to work on, to build a platform where people would find many points of interest that would probably connect one to each other.
Yeah.
And what I find interesting, and I don't know if it has something to do with the concept of deep mapping, but there's something that I really find interesting about our project, and that is that we actually map stories. So we match places with the stories that happened at these places, or maybe you could say with the stories that are told by the place itself, if you just listen close enough, or if you know about the background. And I think we bring together the place itself with the story told by us, or told by another person that we interview, for example. So what we create isn't a map as you would usually think of as a normal user, like a map that is painted on a piece of paper. Kind of a map that consists of stories that are matched to places. So I don't know if that's really what you would talk about when you say deep mapping, but I think that's very much what we do. And it's actually it produces really depth in the city.
I guess to go on that idea of the layer, the depth would be to get to the things that are beyond or underneath what you can actually see. And so they are those stories that you're talking about, these narratives that are there in the city. I mean, I think, yeah, my reason bringing up the deep mapping a little bit too is you're coming from more of the humanities literature, the use of the word mapping is certainly not restricted to what people would call scientific cartography, which is, you know, the roadmap that you use, which is the same kind of way of categorizing or putting together information for a city map. It still kind of follows that traditional symbols equal some kind, represent some kind of building, or everything is represented in some ways. And it lacks, in some ways, I think it lacks a voice. And you're saying to listen to the city, I think, is really important, because mapping what a city wants to say, I think is, it's a challenge. And I think you're seeing that in the production of a paper map. And I think people who do work in cartography, maybe more, a little bit limited to that sort of more scientific cartography, would say that there are limitations, of course, but are happy sometimes with following a traditional, or following a standard, right, of we're going to map this way. But yet adding sort of this idea of the narratives of a city and stories, it then becomes a much more complex map, or mapping. Even using the word mapping is kind of a newer way of getting out of that thinking that a map has to look a certain way, or has looked a certain way, because that's just sort of some international standards that academia has adopted. You are listening to Geographical Imaginations, your tour guide into the geographies of everything and nothing. Geographical Imaginations is an hour-long radio essay program broadcast monthly from Radio Fabrique in Salzburg, Austria. This public geography project presents a geographical or spatial way of thinking about our relationships with the worlds we inhabit and co-create. Each episode takes a theme, or perhaps a question, and explores it through an interactive dialogue with different texts and voices. You can find us on the internet at www.geographicalimaginations.org. I invite you to go there to leave comments in our blog section, and perhaps even leave some suggestions for the show, some ideas for episodes if you're interested in participating, and have some ideas about different kinds of geographies, ones that might challenge our ways of thinking about the world in which we live. Contact me through the comments section or through my email at geographicalimaginations@gmail.com. Tonight, in the episode 4, we continue with Matthias and Eva, and want to continue to explore their little stories of Salzburg.
As you said, that mapping can be different than only having a scientific correct map on paper. This is something that you really showed us, because we did not, since we never really worked in geographic jobs or something like that, it never occurred to us that mapping can also be in, as you say, layers or stories and stuff. We wouldn't have considered it like mapping or actual mapping, and this is really a revelation as well for us that one can map, or that this kind of thing that we are doing is actually mapping. And I think it's what we are thinking, what we are working on now is a kind of a KISS map of Salzburg. This thought as well entered our mind while speaking with you. And now we are trying to match the places where people had their first kisses in the city, and looking if there is a place where people kiss a lot or not, or where the typical places to kiss, or where the alternative places to kiss, or where are the hot spots for kissing. And I think it's a nice thing to consider this mapping and talking about a city in this, like taking into account that there is more than only buildings that are static, but there is a lot of life going on around them or in them.
Yeah, and you could also say that our map doesn't really consist of places only, because of course we have like fancy shops that like hipsters would like, or we have nice places to eat, or where you can get cheap food, like the normal things that you would expect from an alternative city guide. We have that, but that's not our primal interest. We are really looking for stories, and I think that's the primal quality of our map, are the stories that are told, because the texts are really funny to read and they're interesting. They're revealing stuff that usually you wouldn't think of when you visit the city. So it's really more about the stories than about the best coffee shops or the five best bars or something. That's really not that important to us.
Yeah, so in that sense, your alternative city guide is different than others. And because of that, I think, because you're really interested in memory, I've found.
What we are very interested in right now is this kind of collective memory. And we are trying to get people to talk about their stories and to, you know, write them down in some place, if it's the printed version or the online version. We don't care about that, but we want people to tell us their stories so we can save them up for other people. And because if somebody stops to tell stories that are supposed to be for the collective memory, as we say, so this, the stories that everybody knows, there are these stories that everybody knows that we are not talking about a lot because it's so normal to people that these stories exist. But if you don't repeat them and if you don't tell them, they will disappear and they will die, if you want so. And this is what we do as well. And we developed a format for that, and it's called City Walks or Stadtspaziergänge, where we ask people to show us their favorite places in the city, like people we are interested in or people who are doing something that we consider great. And then they choose the places they want to show us, and then we walk with them and they tell us their stories. And in these places, or these places that they chose to show us, when they are at these places, normally they... I don't know how to say this.
You could actually feel how they're...
Kannst du nochmal wiederholen?
When we visit places with people that we find interesting, we always feel that people start to talk in a different way about stuff when they're at the place that actually means something to them. For example, if I told you... I just take a random example. If I told you where my first kiss was sitting here in the studio, it would be a different narrative than if we visited the place and I was actually there, remembering there. So it's very important to us to match the stories that people have to tell with the actual places where they happened.
Is there a site that comes to mind too for you guys for the collective memory? Like one that you've found that you think this is really important that Salzburg collectively acknowledges at the very least, but maybe remembers?
There's one place that I personally find very important, and that is the so-called Zigeunerlager Max Klan, which was a concentration camp where Roma and Sinti people were brought together and held captive, or I don't know, like they were
imprisoned. Yeah.
They were imprisoned there, and most of them were killed in Auschwitz later. And that's actually a place which is very, very close to where I grew up. And the interesting thing is that I had no idea. It was very recently that I discovered that this place had existed, and that actually many people lived there. And so this is a place. If you visit it today, it's very beautiful there. Very beautiful landscape. You see people and going out there to relax, to just to recreate there, and no one would think of this place as a historically important place. And so I was really shocked when I found out that this was this is really a place that we should remember, and that it actually has a story. So that's an important place for me.
I think there are a lot of important places that you should remember the story which happened there. But for example, we have on the floor, we have the Stolpersteine. So we can say the Second World War and the Nazi regime. On the floor, you can see, like usually in front of the houses where Jews or, I don't know, handicapped people lived, an artist started a project to remember these people and how they died during World War II. And he started to plant these golden plates or, I don't know, stones or something like plates in the floor. And you can read the names of the people that died and when and where they died during World War II. And I think this is something that you can see all over Salzburg, which is very important memorial work, and people in Salzburg or as well tourists, they don't really know what that is. So this is something that you really should know when you're stepping on the stones, that you should try probably not to step on them and think of the people who died very cruelly.
You're listening to Geographical Imaginations, brief expeditions into the geographies of everything and nothing. I guess this leads me to the question of, you know, what has or does this mapping process of mapping stories of Salzburg, what does it do for you, the mapper?
Okay, you can walk and you can read the landscape and stuff that you can do. But to get to know, as you said, these little stories, these little things that make you a local because you pass by, for example, these marks or the rainbow that marked at the time that we were liberated by the Americans, the Rainbow Division, which was situated next to the Justice House. Courthouse.
Uh-huh.
These are things that whenever I go to work and I have a look at it, I know, okay, that's what happened here. And these are the details that nobody but locals, and not even all of them, can give to you. And I think these are the things that made me feel home here, because I know parts of the stories that the city provides me with. And I think that's an important thing, that you get to know the stories the city tells, and the stories the city tells you only get via the natives that live here, the locals that tell you these stories. And I think when we were doing our little walk, for me it was very interesting how you reacted on certain things and on certain stories that we told you. And I think it was, for me, it was very inspiring to tell you all the things, and I felt a lot like really privileged to tell you my story of the city as well. And this is something that we would like to share with people, actually, with people that don't know the stories or this particular detail of the city.
So I want to thank Matthias and Eva and Sandra for sharing their project with the show, with Geographical Imaginations. we learned a lot. We were able to explore the idea of alternative mapping, alternative city guides. And this project, their project, Fraulein Flora's Favorite Hangouts, gave us this chance and an opportunity to see into the different layers, perhaps, of Salzburg. And by doing so, I think we get this deeper sense of place. While the episode here is just an introduction, I think, into their project, into this sort of thinking of the map as a way to at once archives different stories, or the map itself as a storyteller, and you following that map, listening, looking, and feeling those different storylines, and exploring the city through perhaps someone else's eyes too, connecting with memory, connecting with these little stories, these narratives that give us a perhaps more complete sense of what this place has meant to people, what people have thought has been important to them in this site, in this location. Geographical Imaginations wants to continue to ask these kinds of questions, how we see the world, how we interpret this world in and around us, the world we live in, the world we inhabit. And what better way to do so than with a map? And what better way to do so than with stories, and these stories that enrich our experience of the place or the space in which we live, that give it some of the flavor, some of the character that, as Ava said, allows you to sort of enter into that local way of seeing this place. Not only the places that you can go and eat and hang out, like or with Flora at her favorite hangouts, but also a sense of the history of Salzburg and perhaps alternative histories. And we're seeing some of the memorials and monuments that and markers on the cultural landscape that we don't always see described in the more official or the more surface level walking guided tours or even guidebooks that describe Salzburg through a certain lens. And so what Matthias and Ava, I think, shared with us tonight is a lot for us to think about in terms of our own places, our own cities. And perhaps it's a call to go out and actually with a pen and paper or a pencil and paper and start to draw a map of your own town and think what that process would mean for you in terms of what would you put on your map? What is the map of the place that in which you live and that you inhabit? This is the question, I think, that the map even asks us. It asks us to fill in some of that white space, those blanks, with some of your own stories, with some of your own conceptualization of the world. Can you fill it in? And perhaps, too, a blank map, a blank sheet of paper requires us to even think beyond sort of normalized ways of approaching a map. How would you start even a map? Would you follow the same sort of set of lines and rules that that cartography and the rules of cartography suggest or ask you to follow? Or would you start with a different set of lines in a different way to conceptualize or at least represent your conceptualization of that space and of that town? This is the power of mapping, I think, and mapping itself gives us a sense of belonging to the place in which we live. And it is that belonging that we kind of bring into being. And what do we belong to? Which are the narratives we belong to? Which are the ones we think are most important for our lives as we picture a world in which we live in. I want to thank Eva, Matthias, Sandra, and of course Flora for sharing their favorite hangouts, and want to remind you to check out their website at www.frauleinflora.com. That's FrauleinFlora.com. And check out our website as well at www.geographicalimaginations.com. Thanks tonight to the artist Mike Allen for sharing his song Driffield Beats, found on jamenda.com. It's a Creative Commons song that he shares with the public for use. So thank you to Mike Allen, and without any further, ciao, que les vaya bien.